Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Well, welcome. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. This is going to be a great show. And so I'd like to thank you guys for joining us. Today, our special guest is Mr. John L. Brown, Uplift the Community's talk show host himself. This is something I'm real excited about, and I've been wanting to do this forever, and I'm so glad that he allowed me to do so. John's book, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, is an awesome book. It covers so many things that are going on across the country in different communities that are affecting all of us. But today we're going to take a little time to get to know John L. Brown, the man, and then we're going to talk about all the great things he is doing. So before we get started, John, hello, and thank you for allowing me to interview you today.
Okay. Well, thank you for interviewing me. I wasn't expecting this, but I really appreciate that. But anyway, my name is, like she said, is John L. Brown. A little bit about myself. I live with different family members because my mother died when I was 6 months old, leaving it was four siblings, and we lived apart. Sometime we was together and sometime we wasn't. And, you know, I always did had this specialness inside of me ever since I was a child that I knew. It's just something inside of me that I knew that God had me here for a purpose. I always was that type of person to help. That's what I wanted to do, help. And I must say, you know, I've been blessed, you know. I want to thank all my, for one, I want to thank all my family members, you know, who took the time to teach me, you know, right from wrong. And took the time to, you know, nourish me the way I am today. And
absolutely.
That's about,
that's,
yeah.
That's, I know, I agree. I just was agreeing with you. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I tell you, you know, it's so much stuff going on in the world today. I see young people is doing so much, a lot of them disrespecting their mothers, disrespecting their fathers, and they not family bonded. And I feel, sometimes I feel like just inside of me just cries out. And the reason for that is because, you know, as a person that grew up, you know, without my mother, and my father came into my life, but he came into my life, I think I was about maybe 9, 10 years old. That's when my father really started coming around because, you know, he was out trying to work and trying to make a living for himself. And so during them days, well, then they'll let the relatives, you know, take care of the kids if their mother would pass rather than sending them to a foster home. But basically, you know, like, I'm just that regular, self-loving, I love people guy, you know, that's what I am, Ms. J.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason why I wanted you to tell a little bit about your history, I think sometimes when people understand your complete picture, It just gives them a better understanding of you as a human, you know, as a, you know, person, any of us, all of us, you know. So, you know, you being pretty much, you know, raised without your mom and you know, and you had a lot of, you know, bouncing around. So you, a lot of things that we talk about on the talk show, you have actually experienced those. And then, mm-hmm. you know, as you got older, you went to the military. So, and I want the audience to know that because, first of all, thank you for your service, but it also tells a lot about your journey as well. Just tell them a little bit about your military service and, you know, just a little bit. Let them know, you know, what you did. And then I really want to go into what happened when you came home because I think a lot of people don't understand it's not always easy, you know, for people who have served to come home and the challenges that they face. And I think that's another reason why you are so selfless in your giving as well.
Yeah, well, Ms. J., my military, I remember when I was, I turned 18 years old, and I was going to the 12th grade in high school, and my grandmother, well, I was staying with my grandmother then, and we was living in the projects, and she told me that I couldn't, you know, stay with her, and the reason for that is because during them times, you couldn't live in a project. If you was 18 years old, well, then you had to leave. My grandmother was an older lady and stuff like that, you know. So I didn't know what to do, so I went to the Marines. And I got a GED in the Marine Corps, so everything worked out in that part. But I did 3 tours in Vietnam. And I was in infantry my first tour. I actually fought, you know, in combat. I was a combat veteran, and I was wounded. I have a Purple Heart, and I have, you know, some President Unit citations and the Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry, different medals and stuff. But I did see a lots and lots and lots of action. My first tour of that. My second tour was kind of low key, you know. And my third tour, you know, well, then I went on a ship. I think it was I'm trying to think of the name of this ship. I was with the attached to the Navy, and what we had to do during the fall of Saigon, we went and rescued some of the people. That was that was trying to get out of Vietnam. And that's basically what I did in the military, you know. It was nothing but blood and guts. That's all I did was fight, train to fight to protect Americans.
Now, you always, you know, you tell me a lot of great stories because I always hear great stories from you. I want to talk about when you came home, because when you came home, it wasn't peaches and creams. You had to learn to, redevelop a connection with the outside world. You had to, you know, there was times it wasn't so great. It was times that you were struggling. And I want to talk about that, not in, you know, as much as you want to share, but that's important because I think a lot of times people really forget about the military when they come home and the struggles they suffer.
Yeah, when I got back home, the first tour, you know, from Vietnam, well, there wasn't any help in the black communities for the combat veterans. It wasn't any, you know, and my grandmother, you know, I went back over there, but I wasn't supposed to go back there, but I went anyway because I didn't have nowhere to go when I came back. So my grandmother, you know, she used to just sit and just look at me, you know, and I was really going through a lot of stuff, you know, when I got back, and there wasn't no help, you know, it just wasn't no help in the black community for our black Vietnam veterans. Even till today, they don't have, they don't have that much help. But I think it's very, very important for us to, you know, especially African Americans these days, you know, we can do that, you know, for our veterans coming back from war, you know, to have that support for them, because it wasn't any. And not only me, you know, it was a lot of Vietnam veterans that came back during them times. You know, they came back accumulated alcohol problems. Some of them had drug problems. But one thing I can say, but the combat veterans, it wasn't no drug problems for the combat veterans in Vietnam. A lot of people think that, okay, well, you know, he got a drug problem. He was in Vietnam. No, we couldn't use drugs in the bush when we was fighting. We couldn't smoke marijuana. We couldn't use no type of drugs because we had to be on alert at all time going up and down hills. We were fighting. The drug problem was actually in the rear. Those that was in the rear, well, then they, you know, got hold of to heroin. A lot of them came back heroin addicts. A lot of them came back, you know. They was all messed up, you know, because of the, I would say mainly because of the heroin, me myself. But it was kind of rough. It was pretty rough for me because, you know, it just was a mental thing. And so I traveled, you know, to try to find relief in my brain. I traveled from state to state. I went to Denver. I lived there for a while trying to find relief. I went to a little town called Las Vegas, New Mexico. I lived there for a little bit trying to find relief. I went to, I lived in a little town called Orange, Texas, trying to find relief. I went to California, tried to find relief. I just couldn't find the relief. So what I did, I said, I'm going back in the service. You know, so I went back in the military, and you know, I had to because I couldn't find no relief. That, you know, that's all I knew what to do was fight. You know, that's what I was trained to do. And so I went back in the military and spent another, I think, 6 years, was 5 years, and then I got out. It wasn't an easy sight. It wasn't easy.
No, and I hear a lot of people that are coming out of the military, coming home, and they say the same thing. It's not easy. And it's very hard for them to explain it to people who have not experienced it. You know, so to hear you, you know, talk about it, for me it makes it more personal because, one, I know you and you're my friend, but it also makes you really think, how do I treat the people that serve, you know, us? Whether we believe in war or not, they are still putting their lives on the line. You know, how do we respect that? How do we show homage? And one thing you mentioned, too, is that our community, the black community, didn't support back in those days. And I think we are learning to be better at it, but I think we still are a long way from giving that support that you guys deserve for putting your lives on the line. And, again, I'm not for war, but I still appreciate somebody feeling that I'm worth them putting their life on the line. So, you know,
right.
For me, I like to say, you know, thank you for that because I really do appreciate that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to move on down the road here. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what you're doing now. First of all, a lot of you may not know, and John's been doing this before we started Talk Show 2 years ago, he makes care packages for the homeless. And I wanted to talk to you about that. What made you start doing that? I mean, because you've been doing it for a long time. You know, you just started. But what made you just make that a continuous thing that you continue to do all the time?
Well, you know, I look at my life in the past. I know for facts that you know, you don't have to be rich to make a difference in somebody's life. You know, by God, you can take $10 and go to the dollar store and get, you know, some items and put them in a bag and go in. You know, it's always somebody need. You can always see some homeless person out there. Stop and give them a bag. You know, I put like maybe a toothbrush in it, a thing of toothpaste, a bottle of water. Might put a candy bar up in there. You know, different little things. You know, toilet paper is another thing that they really need. And you put that in the bag, you know, and you just give it to them. And I never really thought about what I was doing, you know, to be honest with you. I just felt, you know, that's my duty for me to do that. You know, I felt as though, you know, like God blessed me with a decent income, with a place to stay and stuff like that. So I should be able to go out myself and bless somebody else, you know, give them something. And not only do I help the homeless, but I also help people, you know, to help them out. I help them out with their utility bills. I haven't did it in a while, but when I was out there, very, very active, help people buy food. I remember the times I would pick a family every Christmas, and I would go and buy their Christmas dinner, you know, but they had to be a struggling family. You know, I'd take $100, I'd go and maybe get a ham, get a roast, get all the fixturing for their Christmas dinner. If they have a kid, as long as they don't have a lot of kids, you know, I'd do it for maybe two children, you know.
But I'd
get them a little something for Christmas, you know, and the balance of the money might be $20 left over. I put it in an envelope, and I give them the balance of the money.
Yeah.
And tell them Merry Christmas.
That's awesome. And that's why I wanted to really do this, because I think a lot of times people just say, oh, they just, you know, you're just a host. They're just bringing people on the show. They're not active. You know, and I wanted them to understand that you're not just a talker, you're also a doer. And that's just evidence of that, you know, that you do what you say you do. You know, you don't talk about it, you be about it. And I think that's one of the things I really love about you, is because you are that type of person. But I want to get into your book, you know, Open Your Eyes. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, what inspired me was Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, is my travels, what I've seen when I was living in these other states, and plus the stories that I've heard from other people. I did a lot of research on my own, you know, and when I say mentally blind, open your eyes, I'm talking about is things that goes on in our communities that we put a blind eye to. We don't really see it. Like, I'm going to give you a good example, and I'm quite sure the other audience done seen this too. If it's construction going on in our communities, and especially in your larger cities, you know, in a community now, I'm talking about the community, and you would, you know, check and see how many people live in that community is working on that construction site.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it with my own eyes, whereas though, especially when I was living in Oakland, I would go get up. The store was right around the corner from the house, so I'll go walk to the store. And if it's construction going on up there, you don't find no blacks working on that construction site. It's all Caucasian and Mexicans. Well, I take that back. You might find one, but he's not from the community. And none of them is from the community. Now, I'm looking at all of these young African-American men, you know, that's in the community. They're not working. And a lot of people say, well, oh, they don't want to work. But I don't believe that, okay? They're not working, but you got other people in the community, you know, to come in our communities and work, you know. And then if you go to the store, I remember I went to the store, you know, some Arabs got in a store, living in a store. They followed me around as though I'm going to steal something. And so, you know, like with all of that, you know, I just got tired. I wanted to write about it. I remember they had, I think it was Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana. And, I take that back. It was the BPR spill, British Petroleum. Yeah,
yes.
You remember the oil spill?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
They had some Vietnamese's got got messed up behind that too. You know, because they did a lot of trapping and they did a lot of fishing, and that was their living. So I was watching BET one night, and this lady was talking about, you know, she done lost everything, and now she have to go on welfare, and they don't give her enough food stamps and all of that. And I'm saying to myself, well, welcome to the club, you know? But mainly I wrote the book, you know, for people to start thinking, for them people to open their eyes and see what's going on around them. Stop being blind to what's really going on around you.
Yeah, no. That's true. And you know what? It doesn't really keep you safe because it really affects, you know, whatever affects one person affects another person. But I'd rather have my eyes open and be prepared as much as I can than to live being blindsided all the time. It's really unhealthy, you know. But the book is a great book. I want to talk about some of the chapters in the book, but I want you to tell me some of your favorite chapters and why, because the book has a lot of great information. So
yeah.
Some a couple of your favorites, because some things, you know, to write a book like this, it came with passion, it came with a purpose. And so some of those things probably was really more special and more important to get out there. And so let's talk about a few of those, because we were talking about them earlier. So let's talk about some things
You know. One of them, I really liked, I did some research with it, you know, is the beautiness of our black people. You know, we are the number one. We are the only nationality in the world, okay, that we are all around the world. We all around the world when you come to the beautiness of black people. I don't look at just black Americans as black.
Right.
I look at it to where as though, you know, if you dark-skinned it, you're a black person, you're coming from Africa. We're all around the world. That's the beautiness of it. We might speak different languages, you know, but we all around the world. And when I say black is beautiful, look at our hair. Our hair, you know, we got that hair to where as though, you know, nobody can copycat it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? And, I mean, we beautiful people. You know, that's one of them. And also another favorite is death and family confusion. And the reason I say that is because when people die, man, we just go off the hook. And especially if there's money involved, you find so many people trying to fight over certain things, you know, when a family member die. You know, when I was doing my research, I did, you know, call around, and I went to a couple of funeral homes. And I remember this particular funeral home out of Chicago. I called them, and I did an interview with them over the phone. And the guy told me, he said, he done seen it to where as though his casket's been turned over. Because
you don't
one,
like too much.
Yeah. You know, because some family members think that, you know, their mother or father shouldn't have left the money or whatever, the possession, to another family member. So they got to fighting, you know.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, in your book, you also talk about credit. You talk about people clearing up their criminal records. The book has so much information in there. So I know he's talking about these things, but it encompasses so much information. It's really a good, not only a reading reading book, but it's a great tool. It's a great life tool. That's what I think. It's
right.
A great life tool. It's a great, you know, life tool. So, you know, if you get a chance, please check it out. It's really a great book. One thing I want to talk about before we go is Uplifted Communities Talk Show, because our time is zooming. So I want to talk about, because we started off saying we're going to clean up click neighborhoods. And the sign in the front yard and say Uplifted Communities. That was our first vision, y'all.
Right.
It was. So then I got that call. So let's talk about you changing it from us cleaning. We're still cleaning the neighborhood in a way. However, changing it from our first mission to the vision of the talk show.
I remember I had this lady. She was she was in Canada. I think you remember her. And she was supposed to be doing some advertisement for me, and plus she was supposed to be hooking me up with different talk shows and going out and on speaking engagements and all of this stuff here, right? And so it was a few people, you know, as was trying to get in contact with me, but it wasn't the type of shows that I really wanted to go on, okay? And so what happened one day, well, I had been thinking about it, you know, about a talk show. So one day, you know, I thought about it I think I told you about it, and you say, well, you know one thing, that'll be good. Let's do it. And I said, well, let's do it. And I remember the first time, Ms. J, when I did the talk show, the first show we had, I didn't even know how to work the board.
You know.
But,
we know.
But we made it happen.
Yes, we did. You know, errors and all. And we still do. You know, we're working on dead air, you know, making, you know, so we're working on it. But the whole thing is that, I think what I loved about it when you brought it to me was that we were going to recognize people that were not being recognized.
Right. That's right. And it escalated from there. You know, I mean, people from all walks of life and from everywhere want to get on a talk show now, you know. You know, and yeah, so it's not too much I can say about the talk show right now because we only got a minute and, 50 seconds left, you know.
Okay, I'll tell you what we can do. You can tell them why something important, like how about why is important to uplift the communities and why our talk show is so important to the community. I'll let you close it out with that.
Okay, well, I want to say this here. Thank everybody for listening to me. I think the talk show is very important because it gives the communities an opportunity to know what's going on and who's doing what in their community. I think that's just me personally. I think that we can lift our communities by letting people know what's actually going on, the resource that's available to them in their community. And this talk show have been providing that. We have been interviewing people from all over the United States. We have had people from Africa to tune in to the talk show, you know, and just, you know, help your community out. That's all I got to say. Help your community out.
Absolutely. You know what? And it doesn't matter what you do, long as you do something. It don't have to be big. Everybody little bit makes it big, right? So just do whatever you can. And I like the show because not like what John was saying that it does, but also it takes away the negativity. We always hear about what black people ain't doing, but
on our show, we talk about what we are doing. So that's why it's important to me, because the stereotype that we're not doing anything, but there is people out there doing something,
mm-hmm.
and why the show
that's
is
right.
important. So thank you guys
that's
for joining me and John today. It was a special show, but I wanted you to get to know the man behind the vision. So thank you very much, and we wish all of you a great night. Peace and blessings.
Okay, thank you. Good night.